If you will stand with me, please, out of respect for the Word of God, I would like to read several verses in Psalm 19. It would help if I was there. I was in Proverbs 19. That would have been a disaster. Psalm 19, the Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." In other words, all of creation cries out that there is a God and His majesty is shown, so that according to Romans chapter 1, they, that is us, are without excuse of saying that there is no God. Verse 4 says, "Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." Verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." For a few moments tonight, I'd like to preach a message entitled, "The Christian's Greatest Resource." Our Heavenly Father, I come before you again, and I want to thank you for the opportunity tonight to preach and serve these people that you have allowed to be here. Lord, as the song said, we would certainly not be here without your grace. And so we're thankful for the assembly. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God tonight, and as I endeavor to rightly divide it, I pray and I ask for your wisdom and for your help and for your power. I pray that you would help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient and vain so that I may be filled with your Spirit, that I would be used simply as your mouthpiece to preach your message to these dear people, especially these graduates tonight. Lord, I pray that you would allow the Word of God to have free course, that it would accomplish that what it's sent forth to do, and that you would be glorified. Again, I pray and thank you for the salvation of these that are here that are graduating, and I pray for those that may not have that blessed assurance. And I pray that tonight, perhaps, somebody would be saved. But I pray most of all that you would be glorified and pleased in this hour. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Almost 30 years ago, I walked across the platform down in Hemet, California with about 250 other graduates. And at that time, I don't think I really realized what was going on in my life like most of us. We were seniors. We were glad the last test was over. We were just glad to get that diploma in our hand and get that tassel turned and make our appearance for a few seconds on the platform. But I don't know that I realized that what I was doing was entering a new period of life. I'd always heard adults say things like, "Well, if I would have only known then what I know now." And we probably could say that even tonight. If we would have known then, for me, back in June of 1987, what I know now, things perhaps would be different. And so as I would hear statements like that, I thought it was unusual because I was under the impression that I already knew everything and I understood everything. Sadly, that was not the case. And though I wish that someone would have sat me down and given me some instruction about life, if I could be honest and transparent tonight, I don't know that I would have received it. I don't know that I would have been humble enough or even simple enough to say, "I need that." In fact, if we who are adults in here were all truly transparent, we probably didn't think we needed anything from anybody. We've got this. This is the first day of the rest of my life. And so I'm thankful tonight that we're in a local church setting, and I'm thankful that we have graduates who have for years now listened to instruction. But if I could be honest, I hope that you've got it. I hope that you've actually taken it. You see, I was like many young people today, consumed with my plans, my life, my feelings. And never once did I consider tomorrow or the near future or even the long future. You see, I was living, young people, only for one day and only for one person, and that was me. Even though I was raised in church, even though my own mother was my Sunday school teacher from the time I was second grade all the way till I was the sixth grade. Even though I was in services three times or more a week, I was still, as the Bible says, simple. That is, impressionable and ignorant about God's will, His word, and His power. Young people, I don't want you to leave here tonight without learning what you need to know for your life. I want you to leave here with the single greatest resource necessary to live your life, like you stated it so well in the video, for the glory of God. At Shadow Mountain Baptist School, it is not our desire to simply give an education to you and to teach you, to show your work, but rather it is our desire to inspire you to have a heart for God and to help you prepare and equip you to be a servant of God for the rest of your life. I would confess to you, if we have done those things, then we have been successful, and unfortunately, if we have not, then we have miserably failed you. I pray the prior. But make no mistake about it, if you've decided to live for God, then Satan is going to do his level best to turn you away from his will. His attack on your life will be along three lines, and they're discussed right here in the text. You will have to answer the question that comes into your mind: is the Word of God really all that necessary? Is it really important that I read it every day? Is it really important that I hear it preached? Is it really important that I believe it for what it is? The second question that he will pose to you is, what do you really want to do with your life? What do you really want out of your life? What do you want people to do for you? The third question will come, I wonder what you could get away with. I wonder if nobody's looking. I wonder if, aside from the presence of my family and outside of my church family, when nobody else is around, I wonder what you could really get away with. And how you answer all of those questions will determine how you live your life. Tonight, for the next few minutes, I want to teach you what I would have loved someone to teach me 30 years ago. I would have loved to have accepted it 30 years ago. And that is, the greatest resource that you have as a child of God is the Word of God. In our text, David reflects on the glory of God in the first six verses, reflects on the glory of God in natural revelation, and then the last few verses, he expands that to the glory of the law as God's special revelation, which alone meets mankind's spiritual needs. If you read down through verses 7, 8, and 9, you'll read words like the law. The law has to do with God's revealed will. You'll see the word testimony, which is God's truth. You'll see the word statutes, which pertains to God's particular injunctions, that is, the commands from a superior. You'll read the word commandment, which is His authoritative words. And you'll read the word fear. The verse 9 says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Fear there is the reverential trust that God's word fosters in the heart of His people. Then you read the word judgments. That is, the decisions relating to human situations of life. All that being said, this psalm teaches us some particular lessons about the Word of God, and I want to give them to you briefly tonight. I want you to consider, first of all, in your outline, the necessity of God's Word. Verses 7, 8, and 9 tell us, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And we see that he's building a case for the necessity of the life of your life. And you need to understand, the question again from Satan is the Word of God really all that necessary? Well, according to this verse, it's necessary for a lot of things. First of all, it's necessary for salvation. The Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You got saved because of the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. No one is ever going to enter into heaven because they're going to say before the Lord Jesus Christ, well, I had a feeling, or I did good things, and I wasn't as bad as so-and-so, and after all, I didn't kill anybody. They're only going to get into heaven if they're going to go to the word of God and they're going to trust what the Bible says about salvation. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us, and he washed us. The Bible tells us, he that hath the Son hath life. I'm just simply saying, everything that I need to know about the forgiveness of my sin and my place in heaven when I die comes from the law of the Lord, which is perfect. The Bible says it converts the soul. It is the changing of my life. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. By the way, I'm thankful that you're saved. I'm thankful that you have the foundation in the law of the Lord. But it's not just necessary for salvation. Secondly, it's necessary for wisdom. The Bible says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And I will tell you, that if we as a generation would learn to put down our cell phones and get off the internet and open the Word of God, we'd learn a whole lot more. It'd be a whole lot better for you to enter into this life thinking how many likes God has on your life than society has on your Facebook page. The Bible says that he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. It's necessary for salvation. It's necessary for wisdom. Thirdly, it's necessary for joy. Look at verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The Bible tells us in Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. I want you to remember, young people, and I even printed it in your outline for you, and I hope that you'll take one home. There is no better life to be living than the Christian life in the center of God's will. Don't forget that. Take a lesson from everybody, every adult in this room who would love to go back and change something in their life to say, yes, I've lived all of my life in the center of God's will. We would all love to do that. It's necessary for joy. Fourthly, it's necessary for instruction. Evil men, the Bible says, understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. If you decide to take the word of God and hide it in your heart, God's going to give you understanding like no one else, because it's truth that you get from his heart. It's the mind of God revealed in the holy word of God, and in doing that, it's going to allow you to be taught things that others cannot understand. They cannot understand that God is in control of all things. They cannot understand that God is, in essence, the Prince of Peace. They can't understand that we can have peace regardless of what a government may say. Peace does not come at the absence of trouble. Peace only comes in the presence of God. But you can't find that on CNN. You can't find that in Fox News. You won't find that in the Morgan Hill Times or the New York Times or the Los Angeles Times. You only find it in God's time and in his truth. Which brings me to letter E, and that is that the Word of God is necessary for truth. I want you to remember, and you've heard me say it many times, the only living reality is the Word of God. That is absolute truth. If I could give you one thing, and if there's one thing that I could hope you have taken away from all the years and all the Awana verses that you've learned and all the Bible quizzes, is that the truth is what not only sets you free, but as you abide in it, you become and live like a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I hope that you will. The Christian's greatest resource lies between the cover of 66 inspired books, and they are for you. Don't leave here tonight without understanding that. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, all of it, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You want to be truly furnished? We haven't begun to touch the surface. Yes, we've spent 13 years trying to get you prepared and trying to get you to learn your ABCs and trying to get you to learn math. Some of you got it. But that's not all there is. Something far more important, and that's the Word of God. I love math. I think math makes the world go around, along with love and the songs that Barry Manilow wrote. The fact of the matter is, nothing can be more important in your life than truth. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, according as His divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I wish I would have had that when I was young. I wish I would have known what I'm telling you tonight. You've been taught what I'm saying almost every day of your life. Do you understand that? Almost every day of your life since you've been in this institution for 13 years, you've been taught what I'm saying to you. You've heard it preached by men of God from all over the world. But understand this tonight. All that you have received in your lifetime will not be sufficient enough for your lifetime. All that you've received in 13 years in this church and in this school is not enough for your life. You will need it every day of every week for the rest of your life. It is everything you need to know about who you're going to marry, about how you're going to live your life, about where you should work and the Christian life and what church you ought to be a part of and relationships and the will of God and what about sin and what about your heart and what about faith? The necessity of the Word of God. Secondly, I want you to see the desire for the Word of God. After he paints this beautiful picture of the revealed will of God, he goes to verse 10 and he says, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold." And I'm fairly certain that when God penned those words, that he didn't ask Donald Trump's permission. I'm fairly certain that when God penned those words, he meant it. He meant that if we actually understand the necessity of the Word of God, that they would actually be desired more than what we think we need in gold. Remember what the devil's question was? What do you really want to life? What do you really want out of life? The psalmist said it this way, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. How sweet are thy words under my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." You see, Satan will do his best to show you, like he did Jesus, all the kingdoms of the world. All you could have if you would only live his way and if you would only listen to his word. He will even convince you that it is God's will for you to have your heart's desire. But remember this, Satan is a liar. And what is in your heart, listen carefully, agrees with the lie. What you have inside of you by your DNA from Adam and Eve wants to believe the devil more than God. I want you to consider two thoughts along this line. First of all, desires are fueled by who's in control of your life. You can discern very easily who's in control of a life by their desires. Are they godly desires? Are they holy desires? Are they consistent with Bible principles? Are they driven or scheduled by a commitment to the Word of God or by a secular commitment? The psalmist said, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." Why? Because he knew what was in man's heart. Psalm 27 and verse 4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire at his temple." Just remember that desires are fueled by who's in control, and you have to decide that not today only, but every day for the rest of your life. Who's going to be in control of you tomorrow? Who's going to be leading you tomorrow? Who's going to be leading you next June? Will it be God? Desires are fueled by who's in control. Secondly, desires are charged by what's in your heart. What lies beneath in the depths of your heart is everything that Jesus Christ died for. And that is the potential for every sin, every evil, every moral perversion known to man. That's what Jesus died for. He covered it all. By the way, I'm thankful he covered it all. Jesus knew what was in man, and out of the evil heart proceed the most heinous acts known to man. They're in there, so don't let them out. When God is in control of your desires, the Holy Spirit's going to lead you back to the truth. Your desire will be to God's word, and by living it, you're going to enjoy, according to the Bible, great reward. The Bible says in verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, the honeycomb. Verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. For they are life unto those that find them, and health unto their flesh. So keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You want to know what's going to happen in your life? You're going to have to choose who's in control. You want to know what's going to happen? You have to choose what your desire is going to be. You're going to have to answer the question the devil's going to bring to you. What do you really need? Is the Bible really all that? Is it really necessary? Do I have to listen to a preacher the rest of my life? Do I really have to get in the Word of God? The answer is absolutely, at least if you want instruction from Him. Once I do that and I give myself over to God, then my desires will be turned back to His Word, the necessity of God's Word, the desire of God's Word. Thirdly, and I'm done, I want you to remember the power of God's Word. As you walk across this platform tonight, and as I turn your tassel, one thing that I'm going to give to you is the Word of God. I'm going to give you a Bible. I hope that you use it. I hope that you take it. I hope that you read it. I hope that you wear its pages out. And I hope you never throw it away, because it will be your graduation Bible. I hope 25 years from now you can look at that old book and you can see fingerprints. And the leathers wore off. And the marker will be frayed, and there'll be pages in there where tears came down and you said, man, Lord, this is exactly what I needed today. How awesome are you to remember me and to help me and to encourage me and to lead me in the way everlasting. I hope that's for you. I hope that you won't forget, because what you will need is His power, and it's in there. Another mistake adults and young people make alike is to underestimate the power of God's Word. And in doing so, sadly, they fall prey to the devil's third attack, and that is, what can I get away with? Look at the next few verses. Verse 12 says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You see, the devil lures people into sin, and then he leaves them there. And then he flies to heaven, where he's going to accuse you every single day that you live there before the throne of God. So don't wait until you're laying in a hog pen to realize what you have. Don't wait until you're laying in a pig pen before you realize the power of God's Word. I hope that you'll take it. I hope that you'll use it as a crutch to get out of the mire, but hopefully you'll take it as the sword of the Spirit. And I hope that you'll wield it as a weapon to slay that old dragon. And I promise you this, if you do it, you'll win. Jesus was encountered 3 times, and every single time he simply said, it is written. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. There's 3 areas that the Word of God has the power for. I want to give them to you quickly, and I'm done. It has the power to cleanse from sin, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word of God. The Bible tells us, yes, in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But there's a cleansing aspect of staying in the Word of God, and it goes back to the fact that it says, keep back thy servant, and who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. How does that happen? From the Word of God. When you allow the Word of God into your heart, then there's not much room for anything else, if it dwell in there richly. It's the power to cleanse from sin. Don't ever forget the promises of forgiveness. Don't ever forget the promises of faith. Don't ever forget the if-then statements. The biggest little word in all the Bible is if. If you obey, if you follow my words, if you follow my statutes if you live in the wisdom of God. It's the power to cleanse sin. Secondly, it has the power to keep you from sin. D.L. Moody said, sin will either keep you from this book or this book will keep you from sin. I challenge you tonight. When I give you your Bible, go home and open it and write it in the front cover. Sin will keep me from this book, or this book will keep me from sin. When you put the Word of God before you, yea, I've set the Lord always before me, my steps shall not slide. It has to be something that you decide. It has to be something that fosters a seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, so that all these other things will be added unto you. But that's for you to decide. You have got to see that it's your greatest resource, so don't leave it in your car so that the edges turn up. Don't say to your spouse one day, honey, have you seen my Bible? Don't leave it somewhere. Understand that it's the Word of God and it has power. It's the power to save you, it has the power to cleanse you, it has the power to keep you. Thirdly, it is the power to defeat the enemy. It's interesting to me that the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, there are three things that we need to take up: the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit. Those elements of the armor of God help us to defeat our enemy. And that enemy is going to follow you every day of your life for the rest of your life until you go home to glory. And yet the Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, which goes back to my first original statement, and that is this: the devil's going to question and question and question and question and lie and make statements to you, and you're going to have thoughts running in your mind where you lay in bed at night just before you go to sleep, and when you get up and before you go to that meeting, you're going to have all these things run through your mind. And the question is, will you be able to stop them? Yes, I would say, if it's by the power of the Word of God. Because they're mighty through God, the Bible says. They're not mighty because they come from man. They're mighty because they come from God. So the Christian's greatest resource is the Bible. I'm going to ask you this now, and I want you to answer it for the next 50 or 60 years of your life. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the Word of God? Because what you do with the Word of God will tell everybody else what you have done with it. You've already taken the final exam for your primary and secondary education, which means that all of your studying for all of those tests have apparently paid off to this point. But I know this about life. Now, you're not done taking tests. Because you're not done taking tests, you cannot be done studying. Your life is going to be one test of faith after another test of faith for the rest of your life. And how you do on that test will be revealed as to whether or not you've studied. The people who crumble under the pop quizzes and tests of faith do so because they're not continuing in the necessity, the desire, or in the power of the greatest resource, the living Word of God. I would like to ask you to turn to one more passage of Scripture with me, if you will. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want this to be the final words that I give to you tonight. And I want you to take them for what they are. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to notice with me verse 14. Young people, this is for you, and then I'm done. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time tonight that we have together. Lord, for the last 20 minutes or so you have allowed me to speak to these young people before they commence, before they begin in another realm of life. Lord, all the decisions that they've made to this point have been done under the authority and the auspice of their parents. Now, Lord, as they prepare to go off into life, they are accountable directly to God for every decision going forward. Lord, the Bible tells us that we're all going to stand before a holy God one day and give an account of our life to the deeds done in our body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Lord, for these young people, their greatest resource for that day rests in the Word of God. My prayer tonight is they would take it, they would use it. Lord, the wise man understands that your Word is a wellspring and he draws it out. A wise man separates himself so that he can seek and intermeddle himself with all wisdom. A wise man seeks the instruction, seeks the counsel, seeks the judgments of God. And I pray that you give them wisdom. Lord, would you help us help these young people? Would you help our church understand the necessity, the desire, and the power of the Word of God tonight? May we not neglect so great a resource. Thank you for it. Prepare their hearts, I pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I would not